This episode of Storyworthy is sponsored by Story02 Software from Jungle. You guys, Story02 is fantastic. It's a way to outline and define your story. So whether you're writing fiction or nonfiction, an essay, a novel, a screenplay, or even a one-person show, Story02 Software will help you get your story out there with a beginning and a middle and an end. Now, there are customizable story paradigms, character image packs, and the ability to import and export final draft. You heard me. So head on over to junglesoftware.com and check out Story02 and enter the coupon code STORYWORTHY, that's all one word, to receive 10% off. Story02 by Jungle Software. There is nothing out there like it to tell your story.
Hey everybody, David Nuzzy Nussbaum. I'm using finger quotes around the word Nuzzy because Nuzzy is my nickname, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to the Storyworthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finney.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finney, and we're coming to you from the Milwaukee County Courthouse, a building on the National Registry of Historic Places. The reason is, this is where the Milwaukee County Jail is.
So the courthouse is attached to the jail?
Exactly. I believe the jail is inside the courthouse.
That's the way it is in Pittsburgh as well. There's actually, it's the building next door. It's
right.
Adjacent. But it's also one of those landmarks.
Why are jails
always landmarks?
Well, not the jail, but the county. Yeah, county court. It's funny because the county courthouse or a federal courthouse is usually always like the most important, like especially in a smaller city, like really small, it's the most important building in the city.
Mm-hmm.
But no one ever has a good time there. Have you ever had to go to a county? Like I had to go to Superior. Yeah, exactly. But you go to like Superior Court in Los Angeles and you're like, I'm not going to have any fun here.
Yeah.
This is, I have to
like
pay a ticket. I
like
have
to
register something.
Or the
DWP.
It's like going to the DUI. No, it's like going to the Department of The
motor vehicles,
DMV.
Right, but that's
the BK,
like,
the CPK.
You've never gone to the Department of Motor Vehicles and said, wow, what a stunning building, because it's always a terrible building.
Right.
But a courthouse is majestic.
It's
in marble.
Stone.
This particular one was built as part of the WPA in 1931.
The doors are very heavy.
It's like, very heavy. It seems very important.
Yeah.
And
all
then
right.
You're like, this is great. Oh, wait, I'm going to have to get fucked by the system. Oh, well, at least it's in a nice building.
Well, unless, of course, you committed a crime and then you need to go to jail.
Right,
and then perhaps even be transferred to prison.
Right, exactly. Wow, it's heavy.
And here's why we're coming from the Milwaukee jail tonight, because
yes.
Our guest, David Nuzzy Nussbaum, is on the show tonight, and he brings forth the topic jail. And that says to me, criminal.
Criminal, that's right. Or in Milwaukee, he would probably be locked up just for using the nickname Nuzzy. we don't care for that kind of behavior.
You know what's funny, though, is like, I don't know David Nuzzy Nussbaum well, but automatically I just want to call him Nuzzy. Like, he doesn't seem like a David.
You just want to hold his head and go, Nuzzy, 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 and rub his head.
Here's what I know about this man. He recently had a very small child. And when I say small, I mean a 6-pounder.
Ah.
So
didn't you beat that? Wasn't Alabama 4 pounds?
Father. He's a new father, and the fact of the matter is, you come out to record a podcast, and your kid's only 6 weeks old, you want to get out of the house.
Yeah, you're like, honey, I'd love to. I signed a contract. I will owe them thousands of dollars if I don't show up for the podcast.
This podcast is paying me a lot of money.
Without this podcast, we cannot raise this child and send her to college.
No, but listen, I truly appreciate that he came out, and I remember when I had my first child, my only child. My first of seven, you know.
First of, yeah.
My child that you are, I mean, especially as a mom, I was in a, well, you knew me then, Hannes,
yes.
But I was in a cloud, a fog. I didn't know what was happening for
they're
about
all the same,
3 months.
They're all
it's just.
Well, the thing that amazed me, because you and our other friends had babies at around the same time, the fact that you have to change the diaper early on every 20 minutes was like, why are we even putting a diaper on the child?
A lot of times I didn't put a diaper on. I just let her shit on the couch.
Well, why don't we just put her in a, you know, suspend her over a trough of some kind at the stadium, like when you pee into a
diaper. Could you remind me never to let you watch my child again?
No. She poops on her own now. It's fine.
She does. And I said that to Nuzzy just a little bit ago, how when you have a child, you do deal with their poop till they're about six, and then you're out. No more poop.
Right.
You have a dog. How long are you in for?
Well,
12
a long
years,
time.
15 years, but the life of the dog.
Right. But on the other hand, you could never accidentally leave your daughter's poop on somebody else's lawn. With a
You'd
dog,
be surprised.
You might wander by. Exactly.
Anyway,
one of our other children, who is not your child, who I recall you giving him a bath, who's a very small child.
Dino
and
Hunter.
You picked him up, and he just shit just started to come out of him.
Absolutely.
You're holding him up, and it's just landing on your skirt
and
landing.
It was in the bath. It was on my skirt. It was in my hair. And when that's happening, there's nothing you can do about it. It's not like you can say, well, fuck this shit, and throw the kid aside, and somebody will come in and clean this up.
Yeah.
No. You're the only one who's going to take care of the matter.
Right.
That's how you know you're a parent. Nobody else is going to do it.
That's right.
Oh, God. Oh, help me. Okay, but listen, maybe this isn't the worst thing that's happened to him because he's been in jail. So
yeah.
I think perhaps he's seen darker days.
I don't know. I'm excited about this.
Here's
this
what I want to say about jail. I've only been to one jail.
Okay.
No, I've been to two jails. Once I was put in jail.
Oh, dear.
That was in Heidelberg, Germany.
Oh,
like I told
right.
this story once before on the show. I'm going to say it very quickly.
But German jails,
not that big of a deal.
That's a lot
right.
of good stories.
The German jail I was in the middle of a traffic circle. So, you know what I mean? Like, and it had like a 360 view. So it wasn't that bad of a jail, but it was because I didn't pay, you know how they do the honor system on the public transportation in Europe?
Oh, right.
Yeah, well, I didn't pay that fare.
And you jumped off.
No, I didn't jump off. We got me and my friend Gidget. That's right.
Oh, you did? Oh,
Gidget
they were looking for
busted.
Tickets. Okay.
They were looking for tickets. We didn't have the tickets.
Gidget
to
goes to jail.
That's
my
right.
favorite porno
but
in the world.
But it wasn't that dramatic. We were there for about 7 hours and actually ended up laughing a lot. And then finally they drove us to the train station in Heidelberg. Literally, these two cops, we took pictures in the back of the squad car. They drove us to the train station. They waited for us to get on the train. And waited for the train to pull away to say, get the fuck out of Heidelberg. Go, be gone with you. And we left. But the other time I went to jail was with my friend Billy Robinson, who was a comedian out of Pittsburgh. And he was a jail guard at the Weirton, West Virginia jail.
That sounds good.
So fascinating. And a lot of his, you know, routine was about being this jail guard. And so I asked him if I could go visit him at jail.
Yeah.
You know, see how it all works. And I took Eaton Park Smiley cookies, which turns out they wouldn't give to the prisoners.
Okay. Because they had files in them?
Well, I was trying to just, like, bring a little sunshine into the jail.
Sure.
You know? Billy says you can't do that.
Yeah.
These people were being punished.
Yeah.
So they didn't take my cookies.
I think the guards just wanted to eat the cookies. I think that's what
it was. I don't know. Have you ever been to jail, Hannes?
I have not been to jail. No, I have not been to jail. I am much too anal retentive. I am much too afraid of
anal rape.
Acting. No, that sounds awesome. No, I'm afraid of acting out. So I'm a very restrained person, and therefore I don't tend to do things that will get me
risk taking. You're
jail.
Not a big risk taker.
I'm not a big risk taker.
Yeah, well, I think if you to go to jail to have your freedom taken away would probably be the worst thing.
It's not a good. Yeah. I don't think I would enjoy that. I do not enjoy other people imposing their will on me.
I know that you do not.
So, and in any way, shape, or form. So, if this is why, like, this will sound really stupid. Obviously, everybody hates criminals. But I really, like, if I hear somebody, it was a home invasion, it was this. It's like, I really want those people to be punished much more severely than they are. It's like, who are you to, like, rob someone, to come in, to hold them hostage in their home, to impose your will on them because you're so weak on the inside?
Well, that's the criminal part. That's the criminal part.
Right.
But then, of course, as you know, and the liberal in me says, you know, it depends on where they are coming from and
fuck
where their state
no,
of
it
mind.
Doesn't. No, it doesn't. Well, no, but it doesn't. It doesn't because of the fact. Okay, I remember a friend of mine got a gun pulled on him in Chicago. And then this cop comes and talks to him afterwards, goes, listen, I know this kid. He's a good kid. The gun wasn't loaded. He wasn't. But it's like the idea that the gun wasn't loaded, it's like, fuck you. You didn't tell me the gun wasn't loaded. You know why? Because it wouldn't have scared me if the gun wasn't loaded. So for you to hold a gun on me that you can't shoot me with, you're still implying that you will shoot me.
Mm-hmm.
Ergo, you're doing exactly the same thing.
Right.
And it doesn't, you know, I come from a fucked up family and I never held a gun on anybody.
Well,
and
there's many people. Now we're getting into like philosophy.
Philosophy, I know it's exciting because that's podcast gold. You know what people like to hear? criminal philosophy. But it's like people are such assholes. I think this is what I'm really trying
to
get
to. That we can agree on.
Now we're getting somewhere. People are assholes. And it's like there's people who, you know, you say, well, they come from a bad neighborhood and there's gangs and so forth. The vast majority of people who live in the worst parts of Los Angeles have never committed a crime. People who grew up in the exact same circumstance of dysfunctional families, drug abuse, being literally under the gun of gangs, the vast majority of those people never do anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't feel like it's a good excuse. It's like I grew up in a bad neighborhood. You
I
were the
know,
reason
Hines.
It was
I mean,
a bad
this is
neighborhood.
Turning into like an Oprah session for Christ's
I know,
sakes.
I know.
I have a feeling he just got thrown into like an amusement park jail.
I'm hoping
maybe it was just
that
a
it was either
DUI.
Something really silly or something horrible.
Well, this is exciting, and I just hope he didn't kill anybody.
Hey, he comes from a bad neighborhood.
I'm not going to judge.
What are you, look at him. He's from Minnesota, I assume, because he's wearing a Twins hat.
He's from New Jersey, man. This is a Jersey guy.
And he's wearing a Twins hat. This makes no sense. He's he's a maniac.
All right,
we'll have to figure that out later.
David Nuzzi Nuzbaum is going to be up in 2 seconds to tell his story.
You know, only real criminals have, you know, there's Johnny Two Pants, Nuzzi Nuzbaum. You got to have your nickname. You're obviously a mobster.
But before we bring our storyteller on, I did want to mention that if you'd like to support Storyworthy, that would be terrific. Here's what you can do. Head on over to our website, storyworthypodcast.com. And then what, Hannes?
Well, number one, we'd like you to click on the Patreon link. You'll see an amusing little video of us.
You don't have to watch the video.
You don't have to. I think you will find it amusing. But if you don't, you can always yell at us and give us the finger while it's on. That we won't know.
At the end of the day, we want you to donate. That's what
yes,
we want you to
exactly.
do.
Yes, exactly. If you can help us with $5 a month, $3 a month, whatever you can
it's
help us
ongoing
with.
Ongoing support. That's
ongoing
what it's called,
support.
Honest.
This thing we call show, this thing we call podcast, this thing we call Storyworthy, it needs money to survive. You need money to survive. We need money to survive. We want this to keep going. We want to keep entertaining you, but it doesn't happen in a vacuum, people.
There you go.
Money
that was a good pitch,
needs,
honest.
Yes.
All right, you guys. You can also follow us on Twitter at Storyworthy. Okay, folks, wherever you are, stay tuned because David Nuzzi Nuzbaum is on his way here. Next time on Storyworthy, we have comedian Kira Sultanovich.
And I'll be talking about my photo booth from The Tonight Show with Jay Leno.
Yeah, it's next time on Storyworthy. It's fun.
Hey, this is Matt Oswalt, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
And we're back. I have to talk quietly because, oddly enough, what we were doing was illegal, and we are now in the Milwaukee County Jail. So it's a little... Hello, Bruno. How are you?
Do you like the show Orange is the New Black?
I have not really watched that.
Oh, it's very
Sherry
good.
Loves that show.
And yeah,
many
too.
People love that show.
And that's more of a prison thing, though. It's prison. It's not jail.
Yeah. Prison, I guess, is... I don't
prison
know.
Would probably be more tolerable because you would decide, like, okay, these are going to be my homies. And, you know, that's a
yes,
guy I'm
yes, that's
gonna...
what I would say going into prison.
And she'll be
hello,
my girlfriend.
Hello, my homies.
And you know, I think you'd actually get used to it. You know, maybe, form a small group of friends. You would have a schedule.
You wouldn't have a small group of friends.
Food
you would have
free.
A group of protectors. The people that you allow to sexually
all
assault you
is,
to protect you from the other larger
I
people.
I wouldn't be worried about, like, my Twitter numbers. You know what I mean?
No, that's true.
That's
you probably would be, actually. You like to worry about things.
Hey, listen, this guy, David Nuzzi Nuzbaum, he's really very, very funny, and he has a stellar podcast called Decently Funny with
Nuzzi. Is it
Nuzzi
stellar?
And the guy. It's so flipping good. I do listen to about 15 or 20 shows, but this is in the queue always, week after week. He has a lot of fantastic guests. He's had Henry Winkler, Eric Stonestreet, who I loved. Jason Ritter's a regular guest on the show.
Awesome.
And his partner is also very funny, Guy. I can't remember Guy's last name, but he's very funny as well. So, Nuzzi, he is a writer and a comedian. And like I said, the host of the very popular show, Decently Funny, with Nuzzi and the Guy. And you can find him on Twitter at TheNuzzi.
TheNuzzi.
All right, folks, wherever you are, put your hands together for Nuzzi Nuzbaum.
At Nuzzi was taken. It's the summer of 1993.
and I'm back at my slacker stoner summer job, ride operator at Jenkinson's Amusements. Jenkinson's is an amusement park. It's got the rides, the games, the food vendors. It's right on the boardwalk on the Jersey Shore, all right? And it's the Jersey Shore, so what better job to have when you're a stoner living in New Jersey, right, than just being on the boardwalk? I get to be outside all day, get tan, look at girls in bikinis, and when I'm lucky enough to work the flitzer or the scrambler, I get to try to make all of the bennies throw up. And all the bennies come in down the shore. I'm using finger quotes, down the shore for the weekend. That's what they call them. And a benny is the derogatory term that us year-round residents of the Jersey Shore use to describe rude, flashy, loud tourists from New Jersey and New York. They cut lines, they drive recklessly, they start fights, harass women, and overall they're just completely disrespectful. Bennies. We hated them. It could be a racist term. I don't even know. I might be racist right now. So basically, it was the entire cast of the Jersey Shore were all bennies. So now you know what a benny is. I don't know why I'm getting into the details of what a benny is, other than to vent about them right now. I know I'm supposed to be talking about jail. Totally using this as a therapy session, so I got to deal with a million snookies and situations every day during my late teen summers. Hey, you work this ride? Well, yeah, I'm wearing a Jenkinson's uniform. I work this ride. How many friggin' tickets is this ride? It says right on the sign, it's 3 tickets. Is my kid tall enough to get on this friggin' ride? Your kid is like 3 weeks old, so I would say no, that's probably not going to be an option. Anyway, from sunup to sundown, like 6-7 days a week, I'm working the boardwalk and I'm making money. You know, I'm a real busy guy these days. No time to be a stoner slacker. I was going into the summer ready for business. Now, I don't even remember the last time I smoked pot. Hey, I'm growing up. I'm responsible. But so one night, it's the middle of the summer. I forget the exact date. I worked all day, like 20 days in a row. I'm exhausted. It's like 2:00 in the morning, and I'm driving home from work, from Jenkinson's. Got to get home. Got to go to sleep because I've got a big day of fucking with bennies and staring at hot girls in bikinis to get ready for. So I'm really looking forward to it. So nobody's on the road. I'm really tired. Maybe I'll just go a little bit faster so I could get home a little bit sooner. So tired. Fuck. The police lights pop up. And they're in my rearview mirror. I think everybody knows the feeling. Even if you've done nothing wrong, that when you see the lights go on, you become like America's Most Wanted.
Yeah.
Right? I got pulled over. So the cop walks up to the side of my car. You know how fast you were going? And I'm like, I don't know, 35? It was a 35, right? So I'm going 35. I'm just on my way home from work. No, you were doing 52 in a 35. Okay, well, I didn't realize I was going that fast. License and registration, please. My hands are shaking. I'm super nervous. I don't want a ticket. I can't afford a ticket. Cops make me generally nervous just for, I'm a nervous person, so a cop is going to make me even extra nervous. And also, maybe it's the fact that they always walk up to your car with their hand on their gun, like I'm in Ferguson, Missouri or something. That makes me nervous. So I managed to get my license out of my wallet. I hand it to them. And then I reach in my center console for my registration and insurance. I open the console. Shit. I've got my one hitter, my little pot distributor thingy. It's like a little wooden box. And for those of you who don't know, a one hitter is like the size of, it's like a dugout. Thank you. But the one hitter is the actual cigarette thing that you use to push the pot from the dugout into the thing. And a friend of mine actually made it in wood shop and gave it to me. That's what we did in high school. We did wood shop. I totally forgot that it was in there. I hadn't smoked any pot in months. You know, I mean, I was a hard worker. I'm starting to shake. My hands are getting, starting to cover up all the papers, you know, the paperwork. Cause I wanted to, the cop was looking over my shoulder. He could see what I'm doing and I'm wrestling now. I'm pushing things over this little pot thing with dugout one hitter. I say to the cop, you know what? I'm so sorry. I can't seem to find my license, my registration. And, are you going to give me a ticket or something? And, you know, I'm thinking in my head, please just give me a ticket. Please just give me a ticket. Please just give me a ticket. You know, I'm just thinking, I hope he just says, you know what? All right, I'm going to give you a ticket. I'm going to go write up the ticket. He says, no, that's okay. Don't worry about it. Just do me a favor and turn off your engine and get out of the car. And so now I'm really nervous because I'm busted. So I go as fast as I can. No, I'm kidding. I get out of the car and he asked me to stand at the trunk of my car, and another cop shows up and he's keeping me busy while this other cop is now going through my entire car, and he finds this dugout and this one hitter with only residue. I honestly didn't even know it was in the car. It was just sitting there for months. I had really kind of turned over a new leaf. I was this kind of stoner slacker, and then I was working every day, and I literally just forgot that it was there. So the cop takes it out with a big smile on his face. He's pretty happy about himself because he just hit his quota for the night. Little Jewish kid from New Jersey is now in handcuffs, which they put on a little bit too tight. Now, I had gotten into trouble before. I've been arrested. That's a lie. I was put in James Way jail. James Way was sort of like a really shitty target in New Jersey because I switched my co-host Guy Opachinski. Guy and I, we would switch price tags because we didn't have any money. So we would switch price tags. So we wouldn't exactly steal things, but we would just make them the price that we can afford to buy them. Yeah. So I've done stuff like that. You know, I got caught egging houses on Mischief Night and stuff. But so now I'm. Am I going? Should I keep this going? All right. So they leave my car on the side of the road, and they put me in the back of the car, and they drive me 3 or 4 miles to Bricktown, New Jersey jail, Bricktown jail. And they don't play games in New Jersey. Even if you've got nothing, it's just a little bit of paraphernalia with residue in it. You're busted. You're like, you might as well be world's worst criminal, O.J. Simpson, whatever. So they fingerprint me. And I'm already like I already hate the fact that I'm going to jail, but now they're gonna, you know, now I got to get fingerprinted, and then they do the mugshot. Now I was having a great hair day. I happened to be having a great hair. I had like this surfer kind of thing, you know, and like from the sun all day, and I had some lemon juice in it. So like it was like a whole like I'm like, okay, cool. So I just put a mental note. And by the way, if there's any Bricktown police officers out there right now. It was the summer of 1993. David Nussbaum, please try to. I would love a copy of my mugshots. Put them on a T-shirt. Put them on a mug or something. I sell them to decently. What do I call it? Decently arrested or decently delinquent? Okay. My podcast is decently funny, so that's where that comes from. So they finally put me in a holding cell. And I'm the only one in there, and it's just a cot and a toilet, and I have to use the bathroom because I'm nervous. And when I'm nervous, I have to use the bathroom. I've gone to the bathroom 3 times since I'm sitting here in this podcast already. And I'm thinking to myself, you're going to have to take a shit pretty soon. But it's all wide open, just bars and everything. So I'm pacing, I'm walking, when am I going to get out of here? So I take a shit. I take a shit in jail. And so notch that off the bucket list. Took a shit in jail. So now I lay down on the cot. And for whatever reason, I don't know how I was able to, I go to sleep. And now I wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and there's 2 other guys in my holding cell with me. And I got really nervous because I've seen Cops, you know, I've seen all these shows on the ID channel. But as the fogginess goes away, I see they're both smaller than me, and I'm like, great, who am I going to make my bitch? Because I'm the biggest guy in jail. So I'm making the Puerto Rican guy my bitch. No, I'm kidding. So it was at that time the cop comes over, and he's going to release me on my own recognizance. And all I have to do is sign some paperwork. It's like 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning. So I sign out, and I ask, how am I going to get back to my car? What am I going to do? And he tells me I'm going to hoofing it back. And I was a cigarette smoker at the time. I was jonesing for a cigarette. I hadn't had a cigarette in like 10 hours. So as I'm walking back to my car, I'm just looking like a delinquent. I'm looking in the gutter for any like cigarette butt that I can, you know, because they took my cigarettes. I see a cigarette pack, and I pick it up, and it's heavy. Success! Cigarettes! I open it up. It's filled with joints, big fat joints. And I'm looking, I look to my left, I look to my right. I'm 100% positive I'm either on the Jamie Kennedy experiment or I'm being set up or this is just not right. I threw them back down It was the end of my pot smoking days. I wasn't going to go back to jail ever again. And I made it back to the car just in time for me to go back to work in the morning. And that is my jail story. That is my night in jail.
So you didn't have like the one phone call. You didn't. Nobody asked you if you wanted that.
I hear that that's a myth, by the way, perpetuated by television. It's like you don't really get a phone call.
You got a phone call.
I don't remember if I'd gotten. I didn't use a phone call. The only person I could have called at the time was my mom.
Well,
I was living
course.
At home. I was like 18 or 19 years old. But did I really want to call my mommy?
Well,
I'm in jail.
How did you know you were going to get out of jail? I mean, at that point, didn't you think this could be a big, big problem?
I just put myself in a different place.
And went to sleep. I took a shit, went to sleep,
and
every Saturday night to me. By the way, I've always wondered, why is it called taking a shit?
Yes,
you're not picking up a shit and taking it with you.
No,
you're not. You're giving a shit.
You're dropping the kids off at the pool.
It never made any sense. Why are you taking
it? I don't know.
Nuzzy, okay. Was there a toilet seat on the toilet?
There was no top lid, but there was a sit-down toilet seat.
A ring.
There was the top ring that you would sit down on.
I appreciate
and
that.
And then you could then...
open that.
And
there was toilet paper.
Then you could... There was toilet paper.
They could look in and watch you.
They were watching.
Although,
yes,
you're
could,
like...
People could watch.
Would they really want to watch? How many guys have they seen take a shit?
I don't remember them watching. I don't even think anybody was in eyesight, but just the idea that I was now leaving a shit
right.
or giving a shit
right.
In an open space, and I've got really weird wiping habits.
I've never taken a shit in an open room. I mean, at all. Do you know what I mean? So I think it's unusual for anybody, let alone to think that other people are watching you.
I'm thinking, is there a camera?
Yeah. Oh, I'm
like,
sure
am
there
I
was.
Being, am I being videoed? Is there a videotape of me floating around of me?
I would have been
taking
like,
a shit in
I'd
a
like
jail
to see
cell.
That.
Like, Oh God!
Decently
just
crapping,
yes.
Like, David
Nesbitt's bomb. Did I eat so much chili?
Decently flatulence.
Was there a sink in like a mirror? Was that in the?
I don't recall.
They don't have mirrors in jail.
I don't
do
know because you can smash the mirror and then you can use the.
Use it as a shiv.
Like one of those. Like if you go to a bad park where they have like. They have like, you know, all the toilets and sinks are all like one piece of metal.
Mm. Yeah.
And the mirror, quote unquote, is a polished piece of metal.
Yeah, it's like a fun house.
Where you can kind of, yeah, it doesn't
so
really
So you always
do much.
Look like your pants
and there's
are
never
untucked.
Soap in there.
Yeah. And that's the, see, the thing with the advantage there, Hannes, is that's sort of a public restroom. They just take a hose at the end of the day. They just hose that down.
If you're lucky.
I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. So luckily you left your shit while no one was there.
So where on the Jersey Shore are we talking about?
Okay, so it's down the shore.
Down the shore.
All the Bennies know exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay, was it Ocean City?
It's called Point Pleasant, New Jersey.
Point Pleasant.
Right, Point Pleasant. Years later, they made a television show about Point Pleasant.
Yeah.
It was called Point Pleasant.
Yeah, it was called that.
But for whatever reason, the TV show didn't work because it was about the daughter of Satan.
That sounds
It's not really. So she just shows up on the shore of Point Pleasant, and she's the daughter.
And
of Satan.
So because I work down the shore,
I don't know.
I worked down the shore when I was 17 and 18 as well.
Yeah.
And I worked at Core Brothers Ice Cream. Do you remember that place?
Sure.
The custard from
custard. Yeah. Wait, where did you work?
I was in Ocean City,
okay.
New Jersey,
oh,
down the shore.
Look at that.
Working across from the music pier.
I used to try to pick up on all the ice cream
because we had cute little
girls.
White ice cream dresses.
Yes.
And they were really cute. And then we had a blue and white apron that we got to wear on top.
The one at Seaside Heights just burned to the ground
the
again.
The Core Brothers?
Yeah, they're,
the
whole thing just, you know, Seaside's all, it's all burned to pieces.
Is it really?
We've got weight.
No, I didn't know that. Why are you saying that?
Well, okay, there was Seaside Heights, which is like one of the biggest towns on the Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
So there was the... what was the name of that
Hurricane Sandy?
So Sandy destroys the thing, right?
And I remember the boardwalk. Yeah. I mean, the pier that was so sad.
Completely destroyed. Oh, yeah, and then
the
roller coaster sitting in the ocean.
You can see it. Oh.
And so then, Sandy goes away, and then they put millions and millions and millions of dollars back into building the boardwalk. And then there's a fire on the boardwalk. Like they literally hammer in the last nail, and they're like, "Okay, we're open for business." And then the whole boardwalk catches on fire.
That's incredibly sad. Yeah. What kind of fire was that?
It was a
arson
hot
fire.
Electrical.
I think it was an electrical fire. And I think it started at the ice cream.
Don't go putting this on Danny Core.
I'm pointing it on Danny Core. Danny Core, you
Core
know.
Danny Core was my boss. He was so handsome. I was 18. I was 17, and he was like 28, and I was like, oh, man, yes. I would climb that ice cream tree. You know what I'm saying?
Well, somebody needs to
Thank you, Scott Christopher.
Ice cream tree. Scott's paying attention, ladies and gentlemen.
The sound guy to listen, ladies and gentlemen, right here.
We've gotten a lot of Jersey Shore information that I never expected to have, because I've never been to the Jersey Shore, but so many of our guests and Christine end up talking about the Jersey Shore.
Well, because it's classic if you live anywhere on the East Coast.
Yeah, if you're anywhere on the East Coast.
I mean, I always said I used to say I'm from the East Coast. Then Hannes corrected me and said I'm not from the East Coast.
She's
from the
Pittsburgh.
Midwest.
That's not the East
Pittsburgh.
Coast.
But still, the fact
it's
is
Pennsylvania.
That Pennsylvania. But see, Pennsylvania, Ohio, to me, they are still going to vacation on the Jersey Shore because the ocean is closer, isn't it?
Maybe. Pittsburgh is different than Philadelphia. I mean, I guess it's all, you're all in the same state, but you are kind of...
Well, Pittsburgh is such a wide, long state. I remember riding a train across Pennsylvania. Sure. What did I say? Yeah. Pennsylvania, it took like 8 hours just to cross the state on a train.
It's a big state.
It was gigantic.
Now, we used to call the tourists shoobies. We called them shoobies because they wore shoes, and we were, of course, the locals at this point, and so we didn't wear shoes because that's how cool we were.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you called them bennies.
Bennies, and I believe that it's an acronym for all of the states and the surrounding states, like Bayonne, Elizabeth,
they're all New Jersey towns.
They're all like North Jersey and New York town. So it's like three or four New Jersey towns and then New York at the end. So it's Benny. So it was like, maybe it's like Bayonne, Elizabeth, Newark, and New York.
Interesting. I put it with an IES because I was going literal.
We were very clever people.
Yes. You are clever people.
South Jersey.
Yeah.
What did you do at Jenkins Arcade? You ran the rides.
I ran the rides. And so it was cool. Like if you got stuck on a child ride.
Oh, I hate that.
Hated that, but then I would always say, look, they're like, okay, today you're going to be running a child ride. So I would always I would say, oh, well, put me on the ball pit. Because then when nobody's looking, you just splash some water in there and say a baby peed in there, and then you got to shut the ride down for an hour.
Oh, okay. Or say, by the way, put me on the ball pit is something else you learn in prison.
That's true.
You heard that in jail.
And then if I got put on an adult ride, I would always ask for the flitzer or the scramble, so anything where I could make these bennies throw up, because then you got to splash water on it, and then you could shut it down for an hour.
Like the zipper.
The zipper. Yeah.
And in that case, you're splashing water and you're saying that they vomited or they pee.
Yes, that's right. Well, they vomit. Mm-hmm. And then I have to obviously hose the vomit off of the ride.
Yeah.
And then you have to shut it down for an hour.
Are you saying flitzer or flipper?
I said the flitzer.
And what does that mean, flitzer?
Yeah, you know.
What does the ride do?
The ride goes around in circles, and then the mini, the cars that
you're in,
those go also around
in
circles.
Kind of like the teacup ride at Disneyland.
But this is like an
upright, like a Ferris wheel.
Yeah, like a Ferris
wheel. So you're in deadly danger because it's New Jersey.
That's the zipper.
Yeah.
We called it the flitzer.
And did you ever have to do like what's the ride where the big slide, you know, where they sit on a mat or you sit on a bag and then you fly down?
My first ever season at Jenkinson's, they had that. Uh-huh. And then I think somebody just fell off the side or something and died. And so they replaced it with the flitzer. They actually, the slide was too much of a risk, so they replaced it with the thing that all the bennies throw up on.
Because at least they were in a cage.
They were in a cage.
Yeah. By the way, let's not talk about the times you pretended people throw up. Yeah. Let's talk about when they actually did throw up.
Well, what was great is because they were like, hey, make my friggin' pal throw up. I'll give you $20, you know? And so, like, then you're literally, you're cranking it. You're cranking your arm. You throw your arm out, just like spinning and spinning and spinning. And, like, the whole point was to make these assholes throw up.
And how many summers did you do that?
It was 4 or 5 summers.
I look forward to now you're a new father, and I have one daughter. You have one daughter. Yeah. I do hope someday when she's 17, 18, 19, 20, I look forward to the jobs that she has, and I hope she can have a lot of fun. Like, I feel like I had a lot of fun doing silly stuff, you know, right?
I had a lot of fun at Jenkinson's. It was every summer they would, for whatever reason, all of these Irish from Ireland, like Ireland Irish people from, they would come in. You're Irish? They're like literally, I got a great fucking boozle. Like, they're like really Ireland. Irish. They come over and then it's like a work for summer thing. Like, they come over for the summer.
Yeah.
And I loved it. Because it's like, okay, which one are you going to fuck? Which one?
Yeah, fuck their brains out, and then they got to go back.
Right. And that's right. And then they go away.
Yeah.
And so every summer I fell in love with another Irish girl.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's brilliant.
Well, an Irish girl anyhow. The accent and the hair is like, you're going to, you know. And then you're like, I want to come. She's like, there's no Jews allowed in Ireland. We have five already. We can't have any more.
Hannes, look behind you. You see the line?
What?
You crossed it.
I didn't cross
it. You crossed the goddamn line.
Have you been to Ireland?
I haven't.
They're
have
killing
you?
Protestants. You think they're good with everybody else?
Let me ask you something, David Nuzzi Nesbaum. Your father was a salesperson.
Yes.
Your mother?
He's Jew, so yes.
Your mother was a stay-at-home mom? Or?
She owned the dance place in Jackson, New Jersey for quite some time.
That's sweet.
Like
an
Arthur Murray kind of a thing? Or?
Yes. No, but a bunch of women all got together and they taught children how to dance and then they would put on a performance at the end of every
day. So you think you maybe got your creative from your mom and your... And your business sense from your dad,
yes.
Something like that?
Yes.
Look at that. I nailed that.
I would
even
say
know
that
you,
is the truth.
And I did that.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
What did your father sell?
He sold lighting component parts, wall sconces, and he put me in business with him for a little while. So we would go to New York. He had his own showroom in New York, and his showroom was literally a room with just a bunch of fucking like glass shades. And I don't
really?
Know what
glass was it shades? In Manhattan?
Just like, you know, like just
it?
Yeah, in Manhattan. So yeah. He had his own like his own showroom.
And that sounds beautiful, but I mean like chandeliers
no,
and stuff?
No, just like little like if you have like a light on your ceiling or a light on the wall, just something to stick over it.
Mm-hmm.
So you would see them in hotels or you would see them in restaurants and so he would sell them by the piece to other retailers and that was his.
I love it.
He
when
did that for like
sell,
40 years.
Wow,
like very
something?
Specific things yeah. like yeah. propane and propane yeah. accessories. But it's like really like, you know, what do you sell? You sell chairs? No. I only sell chair legs.
That's right.
Or I only sell cushions.
My dad it's didn't like, sell what? Lamps. He yeah. sold just the glass.
The thing that goes
yeah.
on the
globe.
Light. And then, that's just such a funny yeah. idea to me.
Yep. Yeah. And then but it was cool because then he
sure.
would. But as a travel, he would be a traveling salesman. Sometimes he had a showroom in New York, but then he would go to Dallas or he would go to L.A. or he would even go to like Italy or France. And he would. But to be a traveling salesman, giant boxes of glass,
Willy
wow. schlepping all
he
over.
He was wow. literally Willy Loman.
Yeah.
And where are your folks now? They're still in New Jersey?
They're in New Jersey. They're in a retirement community. They're
uh-huh.
both in
wonderful.
Their 70s.
I always think I would like to go to a retirement community. Yeah.
Jerry Seinfeld's old joke is like. Yeah, my parents moved to Florida. They didn't want to, but it's the law.
It is the.
But don't you think that's a great thing, though, right?
Because he was sick. He couldn't. He didn't want to mow the lawn anymore, and now they do it for you. And
yeah.
So that's sort
but
of.
But also, you're with your peers.
Yeah, yeah. But he hates that. They hate that they're with peers.
Oh.
My mom goes. She goes to the pool every morning, and so it's her and all of her like little canasta,
like fun, yeah.
you know, mahjong girlfriends. They all with their bathing caps on, and then they're just doing like little aerobics in the pool. I don't know how much of it is actually exercise, but it gets
chatting.
Her out of the house.
Sure,
yes,
and they're chatting,
the kibitzing
community.
And
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
And my dad sits in front of the TiVo and you know watches all the Star Trek reruns and.
Oh, yeah. See,
have you
your
really
dad
never
awesome.
Smoked pot again?
Well, that part it was a story, right?
Yeah.
So I thought it made for a good story. I did smoke some pot after that, but I never took it out of my room.
Yeah.
My mom actually, when I got home, so the end of that story really is I got home and my mom was pissed off, and I told her where I'd been.
Yeah, because she didn't know where you
no,
were.
No, she didn't know where I was.
Well,
so
that's terrifying.
So I came home and I told her what happened, and then she said, "Never smoke pot in your car again." Only smoke it in home.
Well, hey, that's great. I love that.
So I was
advice.
Like, shit, you're giving me... I shouldn't be allowed to smoke pot. Plus, I'm 19 years old. What am I still doing living at home anyway?
No, listen,
well,
first
that's
of all...
No, at least but she that's was what smart happened enough to know she was telling you not to smoke pot.
You're
was
an adult.
Not going to...
Yeah.
That wasn't going to happen.
Absolutely.
So, but then it became like the place to smoke. All my friends would just come over and smoke pot at the Nussbaum.
Oh, that's awesome!
Well,
I love
made
your
up
parents.
A pot of something on the stove.
So they were thrilled to have. They must be thrilled to have a grandchild.
Like you couldn't believe.
No, I could.
They just,
I could believe.
They came out for a week. From so my daughter is. I guess by the time this is now September, so we. My daughter's a couple of months old now. But when she was at 4 weeks, they came out from 4 weeks to 5 weeks. So
but
they.
This was good that you waited a little while.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you have some time at home with the baby, the mom, the dad, the baby are at home.
My girlfriend's mom was here from a week before she gave birth until a week after she gave birth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was awful. Then we had a week off.
Yeah.
Then her dad and his wife came out and they spent like week three to week four.
Ooh,
so that was awful. And then my parents came out from week four, but there was like one or I'm just kidding, baby. I love your parents. So then there was a little overlap. So I figured... That,
did they stay in your house?
They stayed in the house.
You.
They stayed
that's,
in the
that's
house.
That's tough. I think that's
yeah.
tough.
Problem
I have
with
a podcast room. I don't do my podcast from Sideshow. I do out of a podcast room, which looks like this room that we're sitting in right now. But it's in my own room, and that has now that I haven't done a podcast since the baby.
Yeah, because you go on the road. I mean, you go on remote anyway for podcasts.
Sometimes
you go to
I will.
Houses.
I went to like Henry Winkler. I went to his house.
Yeah.
But like but Eric Stonestreet came to my house.
How wonderful.
And then and you mentioned Orange is the New Black. I've had two Oranges. I've had Jason Biggs.
Terrific.
And Taryn Manning.
Dude, that's fantastic. Yes. And now so is your podcast room still a podcast room?
No,
or
it's got a baby room.
Now,
there's a baby room. She's got her own room, and then I've got the room for the podcast. But we're having guests stop by a lot lately, so there's just a giant $400 air mattress in the middle of the room.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
can there really be a $400 air mattress?
My parents are in their 70s,
yes,
and my mom's got arthritis. So I was like, you know what? I don't want to have a regular mattress. This part is boring, but there's a $400 mattress.
I'm fascinated because there's still just air in there, right?
It's air, but then there's a pillow top on. It's a whole thing.
No, we just bought an air mattress when we went camping.
Oh,
yeah.
But
yeah.
You can get the single or you can get the double. But then you can get the super deluxe double with the air mat, and it's like literally, and it's got a built-in. It's got a built-in.
I got this
thing. Yeah. And you're like, this is better than the mattress I sleep on.
I got the super deluxe queen with the pillow top, with the air, with the whole thing built
in. Excellent host.
The pump inside. Yeah. I want to say,
but at the end of the day, you're still sleeping on a fucking air mattress.
Yeah, but
you're
a very good host.
You made me think of your, it's like, this is the problem with, your parents are together.
Yes.
So when they come, it's like they're there and then they're gone.
Yeah.
The problem with all these divorced people with their extended families, so your wife's mother comes, then she leaves, then the dad comes with a different woman.
Yeah.
It's like just extending it out over time.
It just makes it worse than just hating each other and living, and screaming at each other every day.
Yeah, well, it gives you somebody else to complain about, so that's a good thing.
Listen, I have to bring this up, and then we're going to play some Shotgun Story Ready.
Oh, okay.
Your life has dramatically changed in the last couple of years.
Uh-huh.
You were on the Man School podcast with Caleb Bacon, and it was a hell of a show.
Yes.
You were very honest and very truthful about your one-year marriage to a woman. It sounds like you went to Paris on this vacation. You felt some pressure to kind of do the right thing.
Yeah.
Can you fill in some of the gaps?
Sure. I met my ex-wife on J-Date, but she's Chinese. Go figure. Yeah. Is that racist for a Chinese woman to go on J-Date?
No.
No, that's anti-racist. I love Jews, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
so exactly. We were together for years. We went to Paris.
Years? You mean how many years? Ten, five?
Okay. Three? We were three.
3 years. That's a good amount of time.
And so, I didn't want to be. I was happy.
Yeah.
I wanted to be with her, but it was kind of like at that time. We're both in our 30s. It's like, okay, so what are you going to do? So I propose. And am I going to be that guy that takes his girlfriend of multiple years to Paris and then not? I felt like everybody was almost expecting me to do it.
And she was sort of expecting
it. She wasn't. She was very surprised. I knelt down at Arc de Triomphe.
Oh.
And I proposed, and I've had it videotaped, and so there was that, and everything was great. And then we got married a year later.
That is very beautiful.
And she said yes,
that you did that.
It was. I wanted to give her a story worthy of talking about to other people, and because for me, I don't need to get married.
She want family, and what and she wanted that.
Yes, she wanted family,
and then it doesn't work out.
It didn't work out. We just started bickering about everything, and then it just ended. She moved out, and I didn't try to keep her there, and I don't know. It was weird because I still loved her, but I was fine. I was just fine with her movie. I figured she'd come back. I figured we'd get back together.
Well, it's good that there wasn't any lying or cheating going on.
Yeah.
There was nothing.
It's a good thing you didn't have a kid where suddenly you have a 9-month-old. It's like, oh, by the way, this marriage is
sure.
Over.
There was some lying, no cheating, but I wasn't being completely honest with her.
There's things
about
called things about called lies of omission where you don't tell somebody because you think you're doing them a favor.
Right.
I have a friend of mine who has a living girlfriend, and I know for a fact he cheats on her all the time.
Yeah.
And he doesn't tell her because he thinks he's doing her a favor. I know that's not what you did, but I always say to him, you think you're doing her a favor if you're not, your heart isn't into this, but you're not doing her a favor.
Well, no, I don't know why anybody would if you're cheating.
Well, because
people
are afraid. They don't want to let somebody down. Yeah. They're afraid of rejecting somebody.
People are always making bad decisions because
decisions.
They think other people are going to think or be disappointed. But it's like if you disappoint yourself, first, then you're going to disappoint other people. Well, not also, you're not as important to other people as you think you are.
That's true.
That's, that's a very important thing, I think. People are like, oh, if I do this, it will crush another person. You're not really that important.
Yeah,
you don't
Hans always says you're not that powerful, right?
Yeah, you don't have that power.
But here's the thing, Nuzzy. Then, then you do get a girlfriend, and in fact, now you have a child.
I met my girlfriend on my podcast before I got married. She was actually a guest on Decently Funny. And,
before you got married.
Before I got married. I was engaged. And so we were friends and nothing crazy. But, you know, there'd be the occasional text, the occasional meetup. But we were literally just, we were only friends and it wasn't anything. And then my ex-wife, my now ex-wife, moves out. And and so then we kind of started up after about 6 months of me laying in the fetal position, wondering what did I do.
And you love each other.
Well, yeah, we
and
have.
You're going to get married. Do you think how does that work?
There you go. Putting expectations.
No, I don't know.
We haven't talked about it, but I think marriage isn't important to me. Mm-hmm. If I never got married again, it's not for me. Mm-hmm. But. My last name is my daughter's last name and my girlfriend's last name is her own. Like they don't, so we don't have, I think I'm not going anywhere. I'm not looking for anybody else. So I think, and this is very not romantic way of getting married, but, I think if we do, it would be, and when we do, it would be, please cut out the if part. No, but when we do, it will be because I think it's kind of selfish of me to kind of have mother and daughter have separate last names.
Wait a second. I put my daughter's, her middle name is Blackburn, and then her last name is her dad's last name.
Well, that's,
so we kicked Blackburns in there. Yeah. Believe me, she wasn't getting out of this womb without the last name, with a Blackburn being in there somewhere. So you can always, you know, it's not hyphenated, but it's just her middle
name. She chose the first and middle names, and I kept the last one.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah. Right.
And what's
she's
your daughter's name?
She's going to make it into Black Doe's at some point.
Her name is Lucille Nussbaum. My daughter... Is she right from the womb right into a nursing home? Lucille Nussbaum. She sounds like everybody's Jewish grandmother.
Well, I like it when you bring back the old names. Like, who was it that famous comedian? Her daughter's name is Mabel. Yeah. There's these names that have gone and then come back.
I love it.
Pearl,
Tina Fey's daughter is Mabel, I believe.
We call
Tina Fey's daughter.
We call Lucille. We call her Lucy, and we thought it was very like a new kind of old name. But then
it's a great name.
Yeah, except right now one of the biggest movies of the summer is a fucking movie called Lucy. So everybody's kid is going to be named Lucy.
No, because it's a horror film.
Oh, is it?
Lucy,
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's Scarlett Johansson. Yeah, yeah. But she's like not horror, but it's like sci-fi. I mean, she's got. Yeah. I didn't see it, but she has power. And stuff.
Yeah, but people are going to think that. Yeah, you don't want people to think that.
Well,
as a guy named Hannes, I always say this: good for you naming your child Lucy. It's good. You don't want to come up with some foreign name that, like, even in Germany, it's not. It's a really old version of the name Johannes. So it's like there's nobody else in the United States named Hannes.
Also, I have a second grader, and I don't know anybody with the name Lucy. Now you know any kids?
I'm David. So literally, David, you know, my mom would scream down the block or anybody, David, and then 13 Jews would all like pop up their head like Groundhog Day. Like they'd all like, like all named David.
Now the tradition of naming babies after other relatives who have passed, does that go for girls as well as boys?
Yeah.
It does. Okay.
Sure it does.
That's why often Esther and I don't know why other names are not
Esther,
great.
Esther's
Rachel,
pretty good,
things like that. Those names continue to go on in the Jewish community, whereas they don't fall by the wayside because you're supposed to name your kid
after a passed away
relative.
No, Charlotte, my girlfriend, she's a huge fan of Lucille Ball. She has a tattoo that says "I love Lucy."
Oh my gosh!
And she was just trying to save money.
That is so terrific.
She's had it for 10 years, and so
are you serious? Well, that is like meant to be.
Her parents, although they get along really well right now, I don't know how much they paid attention to her when she was growing up. So she sat for many years in front of the television set, and it was Lucille Ball that raised her. And so, we named our child after a celebrity that neither one of us have ever met.
She is going to be a great mom. Charlotte.
She already is.
She's going to be a great mom. I bet she is because when you don't, like I know my mom is a great mom, don't get me wrong, but I'm the youngest of six. And so I had to be on fire to get attention. And so therefore I have turned around and I'm like, I love being a hands-on mom. well, know, with my
good.
Baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Charlotte,
well, good for me.
Yeah, no, good.
Fuck.
No, good for you.
No,
that's
but
very
I love it. It is so important, and especially I'm only going to have the one. And I also find where I live, like in Silver Lake, a lot of the parents are older in their late 30s or 40s. And people, we hold our babies in very, very high regard out here, at least where I live, and probably where you guys are too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Children are so crazy precious out here.
Yeah, they might get, see, the opposite of being ignored is being, what is that, the helicopter parent.
Yeah.
Who's that, which you don't do.
You know, but no,
because,
I don't do that.
Because
don't
do Alabama that. Won't let you.
No, she won't.
She won't let you, which is good. She's too smart, though.
Kids are smart, man.
I got things to do.
Yeah,
back
she's
up,
busy.
Mom.
Yeah, I've got my sister, she's the helicopter. She's a hoverer.
That can be too much.
Yeah.
My daughter said the other day, Mama, you need hair combing lessons. I said, you need an attitude adjustment.
I just saw Lewis Black's new special, and he was talking about how you didn't have play dates when he was a kid.
Yeah.
His mother was like, what do I got? I got a fucking resume from a 9-year-old? Go out in the street and play, and the kid with the runny eye, play with him too, and come back for dinner at 5 o'clock.
You know, Alabama just said to me, Mama, we don't call it play dates anymore. She said, I'm going to have Gwendolyn over for a get together. I said, you mean a play date? She said, no, Mama, now it's a get together. I said, of course it is. You're 7.
It'll be a dinner party at some point.
Yeah. So, hey, you want to play some Shotgun Storyworthy?
I mean, it's part of the show, right?
Yeah. It can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy.
The game where our storyteller spins the storyworthy wheel of truth and tells a true one-minute story about the topic it lands on.
So everybody, say it with me.
Spin that wheel!
Vacation, vacation, vacation. Where did I go on vacation? This is my vacation story. So I went to Mexico. And Mexico is our neighbor to the south, all right? And so when I got off, my girlfriend and I, we got off the plane because we planned this entire trip to Mexico. And we got off the plane and like 37 guys all tried to steal money from us because they all, but they used it as, they said, timeshare. And I couldn't get to the cab. I love Mexico, by the way, but I'm just saying this part because it was very annoying. So that's why, if I don't ever go back to Mexico, it's because when I get off the plane, every person in the airport is trying to get me to buy a timeshare. Yeah. But anyway, so I finally get to the time to our timeshare that we and but it was, we had a lovely time and we got spa treatments and my girlfriend got a urinary tract infection. So and that's and we're at the minute. So boy, I got to tell you, what a great story that was.
1 minute 26 seconds.
I told you the crotch would come in somewhere.
Now,
in
wait
this
a
story.
Minute. Yeah. Wait a minute. Did you have to sit through one of those meetings?
No, I kept saying, well, what are they going to do about it? Kick me out?
I don't know. I don't know. How did it work?
Oh,
what
you mean
was the agreement?
You refused to go to the meeting?
It was a timeshare area, but I didn't know. Apparently every hotel or what do they call them? Resorts. Every resort in Mexico that I can afford is a timeshare resort. So right. While you're there, all they're trying to do is get you.
That sounds
to,
like a nightmare.
It was because it makes
really
me not want to.
Piss
wanna,
me off. Yeah,
it makes
really
me not want to come
me
back.
Off. It's like, so if I and if somehow I caved in and bought a timeshare, then you guys would be twice as vapid. Is that the word?
Yeah,
you guys
sure.
would be twice as crazy because somebody's obviously giving in to you. So you can't
right.
give in.
Right. No, then, as soon as you bought one level, they'd
you're
be
done.
After you for level two.
How many
and
times?
Then you're a Scientologist.
But then I'm not going to, like, there's
then you're
so
selling
many,
Amway.
There's so many places in the world to go on vacation. So if I'm going to go on vacation, I'm going to keep coming back to the same hotel every single
year. Well, I think the idea is
never forget how stupid people are.
Yeah. But also sometimes you'll give me like a Hilton timeshare so you can use it in different Hiltons around the world.
Right.
I don't know, man.
This particular
because I don't
place
buy
was. Just
and
for
frankly,
that one.
Place. I like to be right here in Los Angeles. I don't even like to travel, I'll be honest with
now
you.
Now, I'm trying to say, I've been to Mexico twice, although it was years ago. I never got bothered in the airport.
Yeah.
Actually,
oh,
none of the bad things that, well, now I wouldn't go because I'd be afraid of being kidnapped. And they look at me.
Johannes, you really do look kidnap worthy.
No. I look like a guy who probably has a house and money. I don't. But I look like a guy who's like a middle manager of some company somewhere, and I've got my shorts and my Hawaiian shirt, and it's like, I'm on vacation, and somebody will pay for me. I'm like, nope, nobody's paying to get
if
me
they
back.
They call me, Hannes, I'm going to say, you know, put it
You'd
on
be
my
like,
bill.
you'll be like, have you listened to Storyworthy? It's about, we are trying, we will kill him. Well, yeah, but first, can you download 10 Storyworthies? Because that'll help my numbers.
I probably went to more of a vacation-y kind of area where they would almost they see me a mile away coming off the off the thing. But I had everything set in advance. I had the car waiting for me.
We just want to do this.
Can we do this, please?
Right.
Leave
if you're paying money, you don't want to be bothered.
Is it true that you have a Janice Dickinson obsession?
No. Okay. I do. I know her.
Does somebody on the show, if your show really, because I seem to, when I listen to your show, I seem to hear about Janice Dickinson from time to time.
I know her. I produced a Janice Dickinson show. Mm-hmm. I produced a number of shows, television shows.
So there is a connection.
I have a connection. Janice has been on my podcast. We're friendly. And she is a pain in the ass
to
producing Janice's show. She's very...
exacting.
She's an alpha female, mm-hmm. and so she wants A-type. Things the way she like. My lighting has to be like this, and the microphones have to be like. And I'm like,
I could see that though. In other words, you know, you have a history on TV. You kind of know how it's done.
Yeah.
And I remember hearing about from Barbara Walters once, and she was doing an interview with somebody, and after she did like the second take, they said, "Okay, can we go again?" And she said, "No, you have it."
Yeah.
Because she's editing way in advance, and she knows. And I feel like, she fucking does know.
Sure.
Yeah. So there's part of that.
I like a story like that because she's making it less work for everyone because
she's
such
to
a
say,
pro.
You guys, we don't need to have 10 takes. Yeah.
Well, famously, Clint Eastwood.
Maybe you need another take on that.
We do need another take, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Famously, Clint Eastwood was like that. Like we've had Dan Sachoff on, who was in J. Edgar Hoover, and other people who've worked with Clint Eastwood, and they'll be like, they'll do a take. Okay, do it again. Okay, we got it. And he's already walking away.
Clint
he's walking away from the set.
Yeah.
He says,
so cool.
He cut. He's walking away.
You should get Kirk Fox. Has Kirk ever been on your show?
No, I'd love to have him.
He was married to Allison Eastwood. He was married to Kirk Clint's daughter.
Interesting.
And he told on my podcast.
Kirk Fox.
He admitted that he only got married. Maybe I'm getting it. I'm rephrasing it. Paraphrasing. He married her just so he can say, "My father-in-law is Clint Eastwood."
I could see that. Yeah. No,
I'm sure Allison Eastwood is very
slightly
amazing.
Valid. Yeah. I mean, I kind of hear that. You know?
And then Clint did that whole thing with the President Obama and the empty chair, thought he was
the
a big
chair
lunatic.
Thing. Yeah, that was kind of crazy. Hey,
yeah,
do
he's
you have
just
any,
old though.
Do you have any dream guests you'd like to have on Decently Funny?
I just asked Guy the other day that maybe we should get away from celebrities and maybe do more. Like I said, you know, like a prostitute would be kind of fun. Mm. Like I'd like to learn like. About a prostitute's brain.
Well, a lot of other shows do that. Like,
oh, is that right?
Well, yeah, a lot of podcasts do that sort of thing. Like Paul Gilmartin, he has on people that are destitute in one way or another. A couple of shows do that.
Yeah,
and
you can't get enough destitute.
It's slightly entertaining, but only for about 3 to 5 minutes because they're not entertainers.
Right.
And I find like when you have a celebrity or somebody on the show who slightly knows how to make it entertaining.
Yes.
But if it's just a sad person.
No, but for me, it would be a test to see, are people tuning in to listen to me? Or are people only tuning in because of my guest?
Usually it's because of the guest. I mean, facilitating.
No, and that's right.
But it is the guest.
And it, to me, it would make me a better interviewer because it's easy to interview Alex Sulkin or Danny Zucker, both amazing you know, writers.
Danny Zucker, man, would I love to have him
Zucker's
on the show.
He's been on my podcast.
I know
like
he
so
has.
Many, and it's easy because I don't have to do shit. Right. I literally just, do the bag with the topics
know,
in it.
Right.
And then they could just talk. And every word is funny.
Well, you're an easy guest for us.
Thank you.
I mean, the shitting on the toilet in the jail, that
was
gold.
Yeah,
except for the heroin we had to provide before the show, you're incredibly easy.
So listen, really, you're very talented. We do got to wrap it up. What would be, though, Nuzzy, what would be your dream job? What's the dream job?
I have my dream job right now.
Father.
No. I mean, that's great. Father's dream job. My I currently work with hologram stuff.
Oh, that's right.
And
I knew that.
I'm really into it because it's so brand new. So everybody saw Tupac at Coachella, and then most recently Michael Jackson was brought back to life and he performed at the Billboard Awards. My company.
You reincarnate departed icons.
Yes, we digitally resurrect icons, and I'm talking to the biggest names that have ever walked on the earth to bring them back and to give them full 90-minute. Vegas shows. Let's sell some tickets. Let's make some money. And let's,
who gets paid? Does an estate get paid?
Sure, the estate. But yeah, so let's just say, for argument's sake, I talked to Richard Pryor's, Rain Pryor, or whoever the estate
his daughter.
I say to Richard Pryor's estate or family, I say, I'd like to, with complete sophistication, it will look like Richard Pryor is standing on that stage,
right.
And we'll use we'll recreate him completely to the very last hair on his face, and we can sink in old material or maybe some stuff that whatever. And so they will receive every time he opens his mouth, a portion of all revenue goes to the estate of Richard
Pryor. Do
they
get any kind of final approval?
Absolutely, final approval.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's terrific.
We want them in the process. So we are talking
What's the computer program you're talking about?
It's just like movies.
Reincarnation.com?
No, it's just like movies, CGI. So we would use old.
Have you seen Jurassic Park?
Yeah.
It's like that.
It's like that. It's
no,
like Avatar. It's like that. So we could bring anybody back. And we can put them onto a stage.
Okay, you don't need video footage of
them?
No, you only
nothing
need
about
images of them.
Only for reference.
Oh, wait, so the image, okay, the hologram that you're projecting is not a hologram version of a video. Mm-hmm. It's a completely original
visual creation. Did you see Michael Jackson
creation.
On the billboard? I didn't see that.
I saw the Tupac one because, of course, I'm a big Tupac fan. Tupac, whatever the fuck his name is. Anyhow, he lives on an island with Elvis somewhere. But yeah, okay, so I didn't realize that. So it's a completely original video version of this person.
That's right.
It's
dimensional.
Completely.
Where can we go online to see
something? So you need to have
like
sound to link the video to.
You say what?
You need to have sound to, like, say you could do John Wayne, but then you would need audio of John Wayne.
Wait, did he die?
Many
or
years ago.
Or we can find a great John Wayne voice guy. We live in Hollywood, right?
Right.
So if audio doesn't exist, we could put in audio where it does not exist to kind of make it a whole thing. But hologramusa.com.
Hologramusa.com.
It's literally,
I'm gonna go
we
look at
own
that.
The ability to project images onto a stage. So instead of going to a movie theater, you can now go to a stage. You could go to a...
you could bring a Vegas act back.
We are...
So literally in this room...
Yes.
You could have a hologram of Michael Jackson.
I could, yeah. And I invite both of you. My studio is on Cannon Drive in Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
It's called Hologram USA. I invite you two and to come, and I will show you a demonstration.
Thank you so much.
The whole,
I'd love to do that.
Yeah, it's a performance, and you're going to freak out when you see Frank Sinatra walk out onto the stage. You're going to be like, "Oh my god, fuck Frank Sinatra!"
See, I never saw Frank. Yeah, because I wanted to see Frank Sinatra, and I was just so stupid about Frank Sinatra right up until he was almost dead, and I'm like, "Oh my god, how have I not realized what a great artist he is?" And then he died.
You know where I saw Frank Sinatra? On the Jersey Shore in Atlantic City. It was Frank Sinatra, Sammy Davis Jr. It was that whole Dean Martin. It was the whole
You saw that show?
Yeah, man.
How
it was
like
a reunion thing. This
yeah,
was in,
no, I
I'm
remember.
I'm gonna go with the year.
This is 90, late 80s.
91, 90. Long time ago.
Yeah.
Long time ago.
Yeah.
God.
Look at that.
How about that?
So that's, I kind of am doing something a lot of, like, just it's just so fun because nobody else
it's
can
the future.
Do it.
No, it's like the next
I
thing.
I think so.
It's
I can,
fantastic.
I don't need to go to the movies to watch a movie. I've got the big flat screen on the wall. And then, you know, if I'm lucky enough to know somebody with Oscar screeners, I literally never have to leave the house. But now.
I saw this movie with Bruce Willis and there were robots and they put your soul in the robot.
Yeah. Lucy is very lucky because now you're going to be around.
That's right.
That's
and hopefully
true.
Hopefully, I can afford to send her off to a nice, big.
You can make
big
a hologram of yourself, and then she'll have the illusion that you're a parent.
She's
going to
be working
on
the Jersey Shore at Mac and Menko Pizza.
Yeah.
All right, you guys, we got to wrap this up right about now.
Pizza.
Thank you. Thank you for having
me
on.
Thank you so much.
That was
really
great.
What a
thank
delight.
You.
That was fun.
I'd like to thank everybody here at Sideshow Network, including Scott Christopher over there, our sound guy, and also Sean Merrick, and of course, Darren McAvee. And on behalf of John Thomas Griffith, you know, he's
John
the guy,
Thomas.
Hannes, he wrote our theme song, Follow Me.
Did he?
Yes.
I've met him, but I thought I had, but perhaps he was just a hologram.
Maybe he
so
was.
So I'm not sure if I've met him or not.
My theme song was performed by Panic at the Disco live from my living room. No big deal.
And on behalf of our storyteller tonight, David Nuzzy Nuzbaum, thank you so much for coming.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, on behalf of you, Hannes Finney, my dear friend and co-host, my name is Christine Blackburn.
I'm not here.
Saying, make it a story worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.